part of the ritual of the distinctively American lone shooter massacres, the mass killer events, the Columbines, the Virginia Techs, the Aurora, Colorado murders. Part of the ritual is the generally tepid return to the stalled and stilted discussion of gun control in the USA. Now, sometimes it's a little less stilted. But basically, we heard a bit of this ritual this week. Obama talking about increased background checks.
These steps shouldn't be controversial. They should be common sense.
It's not about new laws, says GOP candidate Mitt Romney.
I don't believe that new laws are needed in this country relating to guns. I do believe that we need to do a much better job of identifying people who present a risk to others. And how to go about doing that is something which is going to require a lot of introspection and a lot of effort.
But forget the presidential candidates and forget the pundits. How do minds really get changed on guns and gun control? It's certainly the case that there were more than a couple of revelatory moments in that theater in Aurora, Colorado, but those people were in that dark room experiencing that event. For the rest of us, what are the personal decisions that cause a real change on guns and gun control? Two voices now. Chauncey Hollingworth is a freelance writer for The Atlantic and Playboy right here in the studio. Chauncey, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
Lawrence Budd is a water efficiency consultant and a gun owner in Fort Collins, Colorado. Lawrence, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hello.
Now, for both of you, we really want to explore the personal tipping points for what changed your mind about your approach to guns and firearms. Chauncey, let's begin with you.
To start off, let me say that I love guns. I grew up with them in the house, and I have always appreciated them. So my tipping point has been gradual in coming, and I think finally came to fruition with this latest theater incident. But it was long in coming.
So Aurora was kind of decisive, but it really was the end of a long strain of events. Let's tick off some of the events that were really meaningful to you.
Well, I think you mentioned several of them in your intro. The Columbine killings, the Fort Hood shootings, we name the gun massacre. Through my lifetime, I'm 38 years old now, but even the phrase going postal, that's a term that we're all familiar with from the, 80s and 90s.
So you've had your hands on guns, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So at what point did that feel of a gun suddenly seem or begin to seem ridiculous, inappropriate, something, I don't want to be a part of this?
Well, I don't know that it does. That's the problem. I have got a bit of cognitive dissonance. It still feels normal and right and good, quote unquote. But when I consider the idea that others could have this right as well and freely with less, less regulation than what would be required to get your driver's license, that's what gives me pause.
Did you ever do anything that you regretted involving guns that made you feel like, I'm not crossing that line again?
When I was a teenager, I waved my dad's gun around at some friends of mine, which was really stupid.
Yeah.
Really stupid and foolish. I had no intention of using it. But it's one of those things that you do when you're a child and there's a gun in the house and you have access to it.
So the cumulative effect of these kinds of incidents, as well as the external incidents of the events that you've ticked off, have brought you to the position of what do you feel now about gun control and guns?
Well, I feel that there should at least be as much of a legal requirement to own a gun as there is to get a driver's license. Right now in most states, getting a gun is as simple as going to a gun show and making the purchase. Sometimes you don't have to show an ID. Sometimes you don't have to show a firearm owner's identification card.
So you would enact regulations to get rid of the gun show exclusion, to really get rid of all of the exclusions that allow people even to get around the background checks that exist right now.
Yes.
It's Chauncey Hollingworth, a freelance writer for The Atlantic and Playboy. Lawrence, but your trajectory here, your transformation, is a little bit different. Where did you begin and where are you today?
Well, it's kind of the reverse for me. I had never owned a gun. No one in my family had a gun as I grew up. And then I was in the Peace Corps in Southeast Asia. And it was during the Marcos regime in the Philippines. And we saw a lot of atrocities committed by the army and the police against the public. The public was unarmed and the army was armed. And I came back home and I thought, I never thought I would get a gun, but I bought a gun when I came back, feeling that this is an important right for citizens to have.
All right. So my mission here in the next few minutes is to just get the two of you to share. How are you responding to Aurora, Colorado? Lawrence and Chauncey, what questions do you have for each other?
Well, I think I would start off with the idea that the lone male gunman is not, it's no longer an anomaly in this country. It's become a commonality. I mean, in fact, just going over these various incidents in my mind, they blur together. You know, Columbine becomes this orange-haired guy in the theater, becomes the Fort Hood guy, and so forth. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the commonality is, or it seems to be, that you have these people who are very intelligent loners, set off from everyone else in society, and they have unfettered access to as much ammunition as they want, to as many firearms as they want, to large capacity magazines. So I don't necessarily disagree with Larry, the other person on the line, but I feel like there should be tighter controls over how that stuff's portioned out.
Larry?
Well, I pretty much agree. I worked in forensics for a long time, and you know, you keep coming across these people who start hoarding guns and buying lots of ammunition. And this does worry me immensely. You know, I'm kind of on the law enforcement side of the picture, but I wish that we did a much better job of tracking and watching people who do this, who start buying a lot of guns and ammunition. I know it's a bit of an infringement on privacy, but I think it's kind of important that we start doing this more.
Well, for both of you, and you come from very different backgrounds as far as guns are concerned, you want to preserve the freedom to experience guns and firearms in your each different personalities in different ways, but you also want a set of regulations for this category of individual who inappropriately use firearms. Lawrence, is that a fair assessment?
Yes. That's a fair assessment. It would mean that we would be poking our nose into people's privacy, but I think it's very important that we start doing this a lot more.
All right, Chauncey, before we go, why isn't this part of the debate then?
Good question. I think that, you know, like many current hot topics in politics, you've got two diametrically opposed sides that push the argument to the margins. And so
No reasonable discussion about people who have backgrounds in firearms. It's got to be the extremes or nothing. Well, that's a takeaway that we unfortunately have on a lot of conversations. Chauncey Hollingsworth, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Chauncey Hollingsworth is a freelance writer for The Atlantic and Playboy. Lawrence Budd is a water efficiency consultant and gun owner in Fort Collins, Colorado. Thanks to both of you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.